What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 119, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going with me, as I have. We're back on Sundays again. I have Derek with me. What's up, man?
What's up?
Finally back on Sundays. We did two Mondays in a row. Now we're back on Sunday. So, kind of a weird week. Weird, because you get that break in the middle because of Thanksgiving and all that. So,
yep, a lot of time to get stuff done this weekend.
Yeah. Did you do any Black Friday shopping?
I went to Best Buy.
Like the actual store?
Yeah, on Thursday night.
What'd you get?
Bluetooth speaker. The Google Home Mini. And what else did I get? Oh, I got what is it? The Fractured Butthole, the new South Park game, and a couple movies.
Wow, yeah. That's like a good haul there.
This wasn't bad. Oh, so I got a toaster. they had a sign that said, "We're waiting in line to pay," which is the longest part of the whole thing. And they had a sign that says, "Any small appliance purchases can use the small appliance line," and there's like nobody in it. It was just a register by itself, and they had a stack of like toasters and stuff. So I grabbed the $20 toaster and switched to that line.
That's a good way to skip the line for sure.
Yeah.
So you got the Google Home Mini. So does that mean that you're getting the smart home?
Probably. I just it was on sale, so I figured I'd check it out.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cheap because it was like $30 or $25, and then there was a $10 gift card too.
Oh, nice! Yeah, that's pretty legit.
Yeah,
there were some good deals. I didn't go like out in the stores because that's not something I typically do unless I really see something that I want. Because you can research everything before you go out to the store. I did a lot of clothes shopping, I bought some stuff on Amazon. So had some good stuff on their own products, which they always do every year. So like the like Echo Dots were on sale, all the Kindles were on sale, the
Fire TV.
Yeah, the Fire TVs were on sale, like all of the speakers were on sale as well. So there was a lot of good stuff and a couple other things. Like all Asus products were on sale on Friday, which was pretty.
Really?
Like that doesn't happen often, especially when it comes, especially motherboards. Like motherboards never go on sale, and they were on sale on Friday, which was pretty cool. As well as a few Asus gaming monitors and Asus's like super high end routers were on sale too. So, a lot of cool stuff, of cool tech stuff you could pick up on Friday, and we have Cyber Monday tomorrow, which should be another whole round of pretty awesome sales. So
yeah, definitely gonna be paying attention to that.
Yeah, so I might be picking up some more stuff. We'll see what is on sale on Monday. But let's jump into our reviews this week. And to start things off, we have the Aorus GTX 1080 gaming box, and we talked a little bit about this last week. And this is basically a I wouldn't say it's that portable, but an external desktop class graphics card that you use in conjunction with a laptop that gives you that desktop GPU so you can use a ultrabook, say, for gaming when you get home. And I think this is my first time actually using one of these. Like, I've seen them, but to actually sit down for hours and play games and do benchmarks and things like that. The enclosure one is super easy to use. It's literally one cable that you plug in, Thunderbolt 3 Type C cable, plug it right into your ultrabook, and you're basically good to go. Like, that's how easy it is. So I was really surprised at that. And two, it's awesome. Having a thin and light ultrabook, that I can have on the go, that it's not a big and cumbersome on the plane or whatever. And then when I get home, I plug in one cable, and it's basically like having a desktop PC. And that's the whole reason for this. People are like, oh, you need to have a desktop PC to game, but not everybody wants to spend the cost to do a ultrabook and a desktop PC, right? This is kind of like, this is not cheap, but it's in between, you know what I mean?
It's not quite like buying a full PC.
And I know myself as well, like, I like having all of my files like on one system, you know what I mean? You know, so just to have one system, that's your main system. And again, I can come home, plug in a cable, and this thing just works. It's pretty awesome. And it's actually pretty small. The GTX 1080 that's inside is like a mini. So
it has a custom cooling solution on it too.
Yeah, it has a really big fan on it. And you know, this is something that you technically could take with you. Like, you could put it in a backpack.
Yeah, I mean, it comes with a little bag, right?
Yeah, it comes with a little bag. And that bag can be put in a laptop bag, really. Nice. So yeah, so this is something that is just that gives you that solution for desktop class graphics on your Ultrabook.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually talking about this over the holidays, and not everybody wants to have to choose between the gaming laptop or the netbook. You know, everybody wants a thin light or Ultrabook, but you know, you're sacrificing performance and usually screen size and stuff with that, and this allows you to have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and you know, you're not just limited to the screen on your laptop. You can just plug in a monitor to the back of this box, or two monitors to the back of this box, and have that nice big, you know, gaming display or whatever it may be. So yeah, it's just a really cool. Like I said, the thing I was really surprised is just how easy it was. You know, Windows automatically detects it. You pick if you like the Thunderbolt thing comes up, and you just say, when I connect this, make sure it's connected every time, or ask me every time. You know,
nice.
It's like literally
plugging in a USB drive.
What?
As easy as plugging in a USB drive.
Yeah. It's that simple. It's one cable. So I really like that. And then, you know, Windows will intelligently use the GPU when you're, say, running a benchmark or game or whatever it may be. It nice. Uses that GPU. So,
are there specific drivers for this?
I don't think. Nothing. You know,
you installed.
Yeah, so I just installed the regular NVIDIA driver. You know, and then as far as the Thunderbolt, if you have a Thunderbolt connection on your Ultrabook, you'll have those drivers installed already, so it doesn't have to do anything.
So, like I said,
super easy. It just makes sense if this is something that you're looking at. And again, this one is very small. It has some RGB lighting, but it's like nothing, you know. Nothing to write home about or anything like that. But it just, like I said, it just works. And that's what I really liked about. And that's what I loved about certain tech products is like, it's nothing like, doesn't look crazy or anything like that, but it just works. And it gives you what's most important. And in this case, it's giving you that great frame rate, you know, on an Ultrabook. So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think that, like, you want this to be simple, right? It doesn't have to look crazy. This is just that simple little thing that you set aside and it just does work.
Yep.
I mean, this isn't a new concept. This is, this has been possible for, like, I don't know, 10, 15 years, external graphics cards for laptops or whatever. But it was such a hassle because it was just really, like, it was almost like a riser card and then plug an actual GPU into it, and then you have to run hack drivers, and you get a full power supply. So this is just finally making a solution that works for that.
Yeah, and I think in those previous solutions, you didn't have all of the bandwidth that you necessarily needed. With this, the Thunderbolt 3 connection gives you that available bandwidth. And again, it's one cable. Like, there were solutions in the past that used like express cards and things like that, which were really cumbersome and just didn't work the way that you would want them to work. So
no, not at all.
So yeah, so it is the 1080 version. They also have a 1070 version, but the 1080 version is $699. So $700, which
really not that bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad at all. And I didn't point out that this also gives you four USB 3.0 ports on the back as well.
Nice.
So yeah, you can plug in everything. The only thing it doesn't have, which I've seen a couple other ones have, is a dedicated Ethernet port. It does not have that. You know, because a lot of times when you are gaming, you want that you want that locked in connection.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, a lot of times on your Ultrabook, you're not going to have that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, you won't have that. So. Yeah, it must be a fire. I don't think
that's
gonna
happen. Yeah, dude.
There's a fire station down the street, and a lot of times when I'm trying to record things, they come flying by. So, but anyways, yeah, so that's the only thing, is it doesn't have the Ethernet. But, again, $700, GTX 1080, one cable plus the four USB ports. It's a good deal. So
yeah,
I like it. And if you're looking to do some serious gaming, you know, and again, a 1080 is that's your 4K card, pretty much. So you're gonna be able to game in 4K on that. So yeah, very very cool. So that brings us to your review, and this was actually a surprise to both of us, I think, this cooler.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's the Riven Naya?
Yeah, probably Naya.
tell us a little bit about this.
It's the Riven Naya 240, so it's a 240mm all-in-one cooler. It is Riven's first all-in-one cooler, so, you know, you really lower your expectations when you kind of start with a new product from a company, because they usually don't get it quite the way you would expect. And so kind of going into this, I was like, this is probably going to be a little bit junky, but let's check it out. And it's a pretty interesting product. They are, man, the first, to my knowledge, that it's a closed loop cooler, but it's actually not a closed loop cooler. It's built like all other AIOs. But it's not. There's actually ports in it, and you can add dye to the loop and exchange the fluid or whatever that you want to do with that. So it's interesting. It's good and it's bad. It means that there's maintenance with it, but it also means that, you know, you can tinker with it a little more than other ones. And to go with that, the pump itself has a clear top on it, so you can actually see the coolant or whatever inside it. So it was interesting. It was, from the start, it was, you know, a little bit different. So that was kind of fun to check out. And then it comes with three different color dyes, green, red, and blue, and another bottle of coolant, so you can actually completely swap that out if you want. But it wasn't until I got into the testing where I was actually really surprised. This ended up cooling better than anything we've actually had on our test rig at all.
And that's crazy.
A bit, actually. It is, what was it? It was 3 degrees Celsius colder than the Thermaltake Pacific RL 360, which is an actual custom water cooling loop. So with a 120mm more red on that than this.
Now, why do you think that is?
Pump design. Maybe it's the coolant. Because it's not water in there. It's a coolant. But I would assume that most other AIOs are also a coolant. So the fans are not anything special. They weren't blasting. They were just plugged into the motherboard,
going steady.
There was, I don't know. The only thing that I could think that might have changed it is the fact that it is cold this time of year. So the actual ambient temperature is 5 degrees Fahrenheit colder than our normal ambient or our baseline, which, you know, we adjust for that, and it's still 3 degrees Celsius cooler. But perhaps it scales really well with the colder temperatures to begin with, so it just works better with the colder temps. That's possible. So it's kind of an advantage to it. It's hard to say. But it, at the very least, it's even if, you know, adjusting or whatever, it performs really good.
Yeah, that's what it, you know, when you told me about that, I was really surprised. And I think it's cool that you can add the different colors and you can swap out, because, you know, a lot of people are building their PC for the first time and maybe they don't want to do that, right? But maybe down the line they do.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. And it's just, like I said, it adds just more of like the DIY feel to something like this, which I liked.
Yeah, it's definitely a little more DIY, for sure.
Yeah, so. The installation was pretty easy, though.
Glad you brought that up. This was actually nicer than most of the other ones I've done. I just did another Corsair, and I like this bracket design a lot better. It's you know, you got to build up the bracket around the CPU, but once you do that, it's two bolts, two screws instead of four, so it's much easier to hold it in place while you attach those.
Nice.
And it feels pretty secure. It also had a really really even TIM spread when I pulled it off.
Okay.
So whatever the you know, the pressure being applied and the shape was really really consistent.
Yeah, so you have that kind of even distribution of everything. Yeah,
it's very important for cooling. So
yeah, so that's awesome.
Honestly, it's $112, and I don't think you're gonna get, like, price performance. I don't even even in a bad situation, I can't see anything doing better than this.
Yeah, and this is one of the few products you've given an Editor's Choice Award to, so.
Yeah, very few.
The only thing, it does not have software, correct?
Yeah, no software, so that's a bummer. Okay.
But yeah, for that much, for a 240mm AIO that cools as good as this one does, and the added DIY features, I think it's a pretty good deal right there, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. And that brings us to our last review of this week, which is the brand new Cooler Master Master Keys MK750. And this is their full-size keyboard available in all Cherry MX flavors, full RGB illumination. And it comes with a nice wrist rest as well. But the overall design of the keyboard is pretty streamlined, I would say. There's not like a whole lot of extra bore there. You just get where the keys are and that's it. And then I think a lot of people like that as more of like a purist design, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And this, what was I going to say? This board has a aluminum top plate as well, so it feels really good. I think all Cooler Master decks have always felt really good to me. So this one has that aluminum top deck as well, so should be really heavy. At least for me, when it comes to mechanical keyboards, like I like something that feels heavy and sturdy. And I don't know. And usually when it's more heavy and sturdy too, you have like no flex at all when you're typing, which is good.
Yeah. I think the heavy sturdy board is kind of the hallmark of a mechanical board.
Yes, for sure. But this one does come with software, which is something a little bit newer for Cooler Master when it comes to their keyboards, which allows you to change the colors, allows you to set up macros, allows you to reprogram everything. And save and load profiles, all that kind of stuff. So a pretty solid keyboard, again, full-size keyboard, wrist rest, RGB illumination, and I think this is not the cheapest, but it's not the most expensive either, but it is $159.
Yeah, it's kind of getting up there.
Yeah. But I think that they kind of put it all together with this one. A lot of the other ones, you know, like all of the master keys that I reviewed before, they like one thing I thought they were missing was the wrist rest. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the way that they're designed, just having a wrist rest would have been better. And this one has per key RGB illumination, which is something newer for them, especially per key. They've had RGB illumination, but the per key is something more new to them as well.
And they're using Cherry switches in it too.
Yes, and they're using Cherry official Cherry switches. So yeah, and that they do include 9 PBT keycaps that can be swapped out for like your main WASD and all that kind of stuff. As if you are gaming, those are the keys you're going to use. A nice addition too. So yeah, another great product. So three really good products this week, and all pretty good surprises too, so definitely check those out for sure.
It's good to have a whole roundup of solid stuff.
Yeah, I think you can never go bad with a week of good reviews, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So that brings us to some other stuff this week. First, we'll talk about Case Mod Friday. And of course, that's where we feature a case mod or build that's been completed in the community. And this time, we have a build from Peter Brands, who we haven't featured in a while.
But we have featured him quite a few times before.
Yes, we featured him a bunch of times before. Oh, yeah. We haven't featured him lately.
Yes.
That's what I would say. And this is the L3P XXX build, and it's done inside the Inwin X-Frame 2.0. And one, I feel that this is like an open frame test bench style system.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to build something in that kind of system that looks cool, I think.
It's difficult to build something in it that's like really unique in any way.
Yeah, so basically it's a full build using this, and then he has those hexagonal reservoirs, which I think look awesome.
Yeah,
and then he has his GPU set against the board or above the right,
kind of parallel above, with at the
yeah parallel with the board, completely water cooled there. And one thing that I thought was super unique about this is if you look at the CPU block, I don't think I've ever seen that type of
It doesn't even do anything. It goes into a four-way. No, it's a five-way splitter. Yeah, it's a five-way splitter on each side, on the inlet and the outlet. But really all it does is go down in and... Oh, no, it must circulate through. So it splits the system in half.
Yeah,
It's a two pump, two res. Well, actually, there's six reses, but two pump system. But it's all in one, and they combine and split at the CPU. Instead, it doesn't X at each one of the five ways. It has like the one direction goes straight down into the inlet or the outlet, and then two of the like that would be 90 degrees to each other outlets on the splitter go away from the top and the bottom. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the most unique things.
I wonder how efficient that is, though.
Yeah, that's very true. Not exactly sure on how efficient that would be, but I think it looks really cool. I think that he's always done a really interesting things with water cooling. That's kind of his like hallmark, I would say. And I just like I said, I think it looks really cool. Plus, he's using like the Maximus 10 Apex board, which is like $650.
and not really doing anything with it. It's also these when you see this thing load up, it kind of Inwin makes these custom power supplies for certain ones of their cases, and like they're not you can't just buy these. They are for the cases only. You have to buy the case to get them, and they're so it's not like they're not rated or anything. I think they're all platinum though, but like to me they kind of like they're not that I never thought they were that cool. They're okay. They're an interesting shape. They're really big, and but like they're lit up on the inside, and with this one it just really like shows off really well how cool it is on the inside with the capacitors in there and stuff.
Yeah, I think that is actually really cool. So yeah, definitely check that out. I think it looks pretty awesome. And it's always good to feature Peter Brands. He's a cool dude. So another great build from him, and I would love this to be one of my test benches. That's for sure.
Yeah,
it'd be pretty cool. It'd be a pain to switch out parts though.
Yeah, quite a bit with all the water
cooling. Yeah, for sure. So, to finalize things that we have going on this week, we have a new giveaway, and it's from Reven. So they are giving us one of their Justice CPU coolers, one of their Polaris fan controllers, which actually. I didn't know about this fan controller, but it looks awesome.
Yeah.
And two of their Euro fans. So we'll be giving away all three of those things, three different winners. Super easy to enter. We have it on there. You just have to do a couple things. And there you can actually unlock even more entries by doing other things. And this is running just for a couple weeks. We already have, I'm looking at now, 248 entries. So definitely get your entry in for this to win one of those three things. And we have another contest launching this week, and then we'll have another one next week, and then we'll have another one next week. So
nice.
We have a lot of stuff we're giving away. Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun with all this.
Tis the season.
What?
Tis the season.
Yes, tis the season. We feel like it's a good time to give back. So we'll have basically giveaways all up until CES time. So lots of fun stuff going on there. So definitely check all that out. And that brings us to news this weekend, because it was a holiday week. A lot of companies were off this week even. But there wasn't a whole lot of stuff, but we have some things. First, we have two new graphics cards. The first set comes from XFX, and they actually teased these a few weeks back, and now they're actually official. We have photos, which are horrible photos from XFX. Like, the teaser photos look so much better, but I don't know where these leaked photos came from, but these are their double edition Vega 64 and 56 cards that have a unique design, one that you're gonna love or hate. I'm not a fan of it.
It's so close to being like good, and then it's not.
Yeah, so basically XFX, like their X, like basically what they've done is put that X in the center of the card, and then there's a big shroud that has two fans on either side. And
it's like a stepped shroud around the fan too.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a really weird, and it's offset. stepped and offset to kind of. It's the one side is offset, then the right fan isn't offset because it steps up on the other side too.
Yeah.
Very, very odd. Unique.
Yeah, so a lot of people said they like this. A lot of people said that it's ugly. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
But one thing that's really unique about this one is that the dual 8-pin connectors are in the center of the card rather than towards the end. Which basically, it's actually technically at the end of the PCB, but then the shroud extends much further.
PCB.
Yeah, the Vega PCBs, they're short. Yeah, at least
for a top-tier card.
Yeah, there's versions that are short, so this is the shorter version. But sadly, these are running at clock speed, though.
stock clocks, huh?
Yeah, stock clocks. So that's a little...
work.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just... From what, you know, it's been hard to have a factory overclock with any of the Vega cards. Hmm. You know, with a, you know, across a whole series, it's just been difficult. Yeah. So, hopefully we'll see a couple other ones. We talked about that Red Devil, which should be factory overclocked, as it has 3 8-pin EPS connectors on there.
Yeah, it's just for fun.
You know, but that this finally gives you another option. If you still, again, if you want a Vega card, this is another option. And again, I would prefer this over the reference. So,
nope.
Yeah,
I'd rather have the reference card.
You know, yeah, you really don't like the design at all.
Not into that.
All right, we are back. My computer blue screened. Not sure why. I gotta research the error, but it's a
driver related maybe.
I think. So hopefully it doesn't blue screen again because we'd like to get through this podcast. But
sure.
Yeah. So we were just about to go into EVGA's brand new GeForce DTX 1080 Ti Kingpin Hydro Copper. It's like the longest.
It's quite a title.
The biggest thing about this card, one, it's their highest factory overclocked GTX 1080 Ti. So it runs at 1582 megahertz core and 1695 megahertz GPU boost. On top of that, it is a hydro copper card. So it has an integrated full cover water block. So this is a card that you would integrate into your own custom loop. Of course, this is a Kingpin card. So the factory overclock and everything has been custom tuned by famous overclocker Kingpin, who's been working with the EVGA for a very long time. And I like it. I like the way it looks. Obviously, it's super fast. It's $1,249.
It's a lot of money for a card.
Yes.
Especially since it's, you know, it's TI. It's not even a Titan. You're basically paying... What's a TI go for? $750, $800?
Like, yeah, 7.7 something. Let me look, but...
Depends on the day, I suppose.
At this juncture, yes. Right now. $7.59.
Okay, so you're paying $500 for a water block and an overclock, and maybe it's probably got...
Yeah,
probably got better components?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But that's still an awful lot for a SwiftTech block.
And especially considering like that Star Wars collector's edition Titan is like $1,200,
Titan,
right?
XP, yeah, that's $1,200.
Yeah, so
it's a bit more performance actually.
Yeah,
I do like on this though is that the 2 8 pins are off the side, which actually makes for great cable routing.
Yeah, or off the back.
The end. Yeah,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, off the end of the card. Yeah, I was actually going to point that out as well. I did notice that is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I do think. Not like the back plate.
You did mention that. I think
really busy.
And I think that for this card, this is like a high end. You know, this is their flagship card.
Yeah,
it's kind of boring.
Yeah, the block is okay, right? It's got some cutaways on the front of it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can actually see the water channel in there. It's hard to see in the photo that we have.
Yeah,
I also would have thought, being that it's called the hydro copper, that they would have used a plain copper instead of, it looks like, like a nickel plating.
Yeah.
Like, why not just leave it copper? That would go with the name. But it's still a bad card, you know?
For sure.
Speed-wise, but
yeah,
hard to justify.
I like it. I mean, I wouldn't complain if this was in my system at all.
No.
But
would you recommend somebody to buy it over other cards?
Probably not over the Titan, no. And one thing that this does give you is a single slot card, though. This is a single slot.
Yeah, it is, yep.
Which is something you don't often find.
I like the single slot conversion bracket, too. It's not a double. Because usually when you switch your standard GPU heatsink cooler, you go down to a single slot, but you still have to take up dual slots on the side.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, I do like that. So cool. Like I said, that is their flagship now for the 1080 series. I like it. I think it could be for the $500 premium that you're paying over a, you know, and that's over right now. That was the Asus Strix. So it's not like
that's going, not even a, yeah.
Yeah. So like the Asus Strix is $759. Their EVGA's for the Win 3 gaming card is $839. The Aorus GTX 1080 Ti is $866. MSI 1080 Ti Gaming X is $769. The Zotac is $799. That's our Amp Extreme, you know.
Huge jump in price.
Yeah. A lot of these cards. So
I mean, you can do a water block on your own for $100.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, it is going to be a better card. I bet it's a very well binned GPU as well.
Yeah, I would think, and I think that all custom PCB, all custom power delivery components, stuff you are not going to find on other cards out there. So
yeah,
you know, if that's your thing, and like that's, you know, and I assume this is going to be super stable, overclock, and all that. So
yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, so definitely, if you're interested in that, definitely check it out. Like I said, it's a really cool looking card. So. So yeah, that brings us to another thing that Derek should have invented when we talked about it earlier this year.
I mean, I invented it. I just, you know, didn't actually make it.
So ADATA has released an XPG Storm RGB M.2 active cooled heatsink. So for M.2s, we've seen heatsinks now. So we've seen, you know, just a piece of aluminum that covers and helps with cooling. And they do a good job. We've tested a few. Yeah, this one is a little different because it's an aluminum heatsink, but then on top of that is an active cooled fan that has a shroud, which actually makes your M.2 pretty large.
That's what I was thinking when I saw this. I was like, a large piece.
And that could run into some issues because a lot of times on boards, your GPU actually sits over your M.2.
Yeah.
But the shroud has RGB lighting in it, which, you know, adds a little cool effect.
That's something.
Yeah. I can't assume it's controlled by software.
Where does it? There's no... These are renders, I think.
Yes. So there's... Yeah, we don't know where the power comes out.
Or anything. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a little fan.
It looks like a GPU shroud.
Yes, like a blower-style GPU shroud, for sure.
Yeah.
With a fan towards the end. Yeah, so then
I'm sure it works.
It definitely works. I mean, even adding in a piece of aluminum just works incredibly well.
Yeah.
You know, and then the fact that you have a fan there, it's going to even help even more. So I think it's cool. Actually, no. I assume it has an RGB cable because it says it supports several apps, including Asus Aura Sync, Gigabyte RGB Fusion, blah, blah, blah. So it probably has a typical 4-pin RGB header.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
The only thing that I see is based on this first render, it's big. And if you don't have space where your M.2 is, like your M.2 sits over a GPU or sits under a GPU, then this wouldn't even work.
So. It looks like it might be as high as 2 inches.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there, in that range.
Yeah, so... definitely something to think about, but I think it looks cool. I think if these would fit well, and then you could match them with the RGB effects that are going on in your motherboard anyways, it would just be even cooler.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, I wonder how much it is. There's no price either.
Yeah. Well, when you're only getting renders, it's not probably very close to release.
Yeah, so we'll probably see this at CES. So move on that from that from gaming. There's a lot of gaming news this week, just for the fact that it's like Black Friday and gaming and all kinds of stuff. And the big news that we've talked about over the past few weeks is Star Wars Battlefront 2. And last week, the big thing was that microtransactions were turned off. And that was such a big thing, and we called it a win for gamers because, I mean, the microtransactions were really prominent in Battlefront 2, and a lot of pay-to-win type scenarios were going on. And it seems that not only was EA pressured by gamers, but they were actually pressured by Disney to remove all the microtransactions from the game, which makes sense because Disney owns Star Wars. They have a movie coming out this upcoming month, and I don't think that I wouldn't say people pissed off at the game would make people not go see the movie, but there's a correlation there somewhere.
Yeah, Disney just they're not going to want any sort of negativity associated with the brand, especially the negativity they didn't bring out.
Yes.
So, yeah, I wonder the thing is at this point though. The good part of this, you know, it would have been nice to see EA actually like grow a soul and do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Which they didn't here apparently. But the good thing is that they're probably not going to add them back in, or not for a while, maybe not ever, because you know when Disney says you probably do.
Yeah, I think that after the movie has a good release, you know, closer to the new year, I would say they'll be put back in.
You think?
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, obviously, when it happens, we'll definitely let you know.
Yeah.
I still haven't got the game. I really had thought about getting the game. I just don't have the time right now.
Yeah.
So. But good on Disney's part too to say, you know what, you're kind of making us look bad over here, so you need to stop.
Yeah. No. The Lucasfilm portion of Disney is they seem to be in good hands.
Yes. Yes. So. Talking about another EA and DICE game, Battlefield 1, their new expansion comes out December 11th. So this is a pretty big expansion. It's called Turning Tides, and new maps. Mostly, the big thing here is Turning Tides. There's a lot of sea or ocean-related, naval battles. That's the word I was looking for. I think that's an interesting thing too, like naval battles in World War One setting, because we didn't have the type of things when you typically think of naval battles. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not really known as like a naval war.
Correct.
You know? Even though there was a lot, but it was mostly submarines and stuff.
Yeah.
For the most part, it was about supplies.
Yes.
There's some interesting. There's a lot actually in the Mediterranean. There are a lot of interesting attempts. So I don't know if it goes there or not, but
yeah, there is a trailer, and they have a full blog post on everything that you can check out. So, do you even have Battlefield 1?
No, I don't.
Okay, I have it. I liked it.
I played the beta enough to know that I didn't want it.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Huh. It did pretty well for them. So.
It's not my thing.
You don't like the World War One.
I kind of like modern weapons, so.
I mean, that's why you play Battlefield 4.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's coming out, and then Wolfenstein 2: The New Colossus. They announced that they're having a free trial, so if you want to check out the game, you can go ahead and do that, which I love.
Yeah.
Because it's just like. And they're not going to give you all these free trials. They're like, you can play up until a certain point, or you can play a certain number of hours, which I like, especially because after that certain amount of hours, if you do want to buy the game, you keep all of your progression as well as like all of the things you may pick up and character stuff. So they're offering that. But on top of that, there's a 50% discount on it on Steam as well. And the Steam sale thingies going on right now too, so there's like so many good games that are on sale right now, a lot of stuff, and even the our buddy Jack said the Steam link was $4.99.
I bought three. No,
really?
No, I bought two because I got a Steam link and a controller and a Steam link. I was gonna buy three. I didn't.
Wow. I'm actually surprised that you're buying gaming related items here.
Well, yeah.
Was the thing
you couldn't do is you couldn't just add, like, you couldn't change the quantity that you wanted to buy.
Oh.
I don't know if they made that on purpose. I swear that when Jack shared the screenshot that he had a quantity next to his.
Interesting.
But when I went in and I did it, you couldn't. I did it on the PC too.
So you have to. So you had to pay $8 shipping on each one.
No, it was because they were combined for mine. But it was still, I think it was $14 shipping.
Wow, that's a lot of. That's. I mean, when you're used to like Amazon, like not paying shipping, like that's a lot of money for shipping.
Yeah, it sounds crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm also curious about, like, when am I actually going to get them?
Yeah. So is that what you're going to plan to do is, like, you have that projector, or you're going to, like, stream your PC games to the projector?
Yeah, I can, and I kind of want to put one in my bedroom.
Yeah. And you've never used a Steam controller.
I have not.
It's very usable, I would say that. Yeah, because I
once you get used to it, I've held it and it just wasn't active.
I've like, yeah, you have
it,
to
see it at CES, but
with any of those things, you have to take some time with it. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Oh, I actually did get Wolfenstein 2.
Yeah, Derek sent me a screenshot on Messenger the other day of him downloading the game. So, have you played it at all?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just installed.
You'll have to let us know how that goes.
It should be good. It's got wonderful reviews.
Yes, it actually does. So, finally, there's a new Warhammer 40K game coming out. It is called Warhammer 40,000 Gladius. You know, Warhammer, the originals were so good, and I was a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of, like, strategy-type games like this and, like, StarCraft and everything. And then the Warhammer games just kind of got away from that, at least in my opinion. They became like turn based and weird and just got away from what made them really great, I think.
Yeah.
And this looks like it might come back to that. It might come back to, like, you know, just a typical RTS type deal, you know. there's a little trailer on the Steam page, which we have linked, and the screenshots look pretty good. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see what actually happens. But it might be a game that I might be interested in. So.
Yeah, I've never played one. I always thought they looked interesting. And the people that do play them are... I mean, the following for Warhammer is enormous.
Yes.
So the lore seems to be pretty deep.
Yeah, so it's a good franchise. And I hope this one's good. I might actually get this one. I like playing games like this. I like playing games where, like, I can kind of just shut off and, like, if I want to build a base and attack some people, like, I can do it. And then I don't have to worry about anything, you know?
Yeah.
So... hopefully that's how this one is. We'll have to see when it does come out. And that's all the news. Not a whole lot of news this week. Again, big holiday week, so not a lot of stuff going on. But for next week, we have three awesome products. And the first one is a very interesting keyboard from Logitech. It's their Craft. And they call it Craft because it's really made for creators. The biggest thing is it has this kind of... they call it a creative input dial or a knob at the top, which looks like a big volume knob.
Yeah.
And but it has three different controls. You can obviously turn it like a knob. You can touch on it like just a light press, like a tap.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a touch sensitive tap, and you can press it in. And this allows you to interact in different applications. So they have profiles built for like Photoshop, Lightroom, like all the Adobe software, all of the Microsoft software, like Word and everything like that. So mm-hmm. It allows you to interact with whatever you're doing differently than a normal mm-hmm. keyboard. But the keyboard's designed incredibly mm-hmm. well too. I was actually really surprised. I've been using it a lot lately. So I'm really excited to tell you guys about it. Really, really cool thing there. And then I'll be looking at the Noctua NH-U12S SE AM4. Which is a very long product name as well. And that's Noctua's. Basically, it is their NH-U12S in an AM4 package, just made for AM4, basically. Oh, okay. Special edition made for AM4. As we know, Noctua has really good air coolers. This one's a single tower cooler with a single fan, but should do a really good job, especially if you're on the Ryzen 5 level. You know, this should definitely be more than enough, but it should handle Ryzen 7 quite well too. So that's, and
I said it's a custom cooler for the, well, not custom cooler necessarily, but you know, it's not just an adapter bracket.
Correct.
So you know that it was designed specifically for AM4.
Yes. They released three at launch. They were one of the only companies when Ryzen first launched to have air coolers available at launch. So it was kind of nice. And then finally, I'll be taking a look at another standing desk. So sit the stand desk, electric desk. Really? This is the VertDesk V3. And their biggest thing is that it's very, the stability on it is really, really good.
Okay.
And I've been using this. I set it up with all the test systems on it, and it works really well. I do like it. There are some downsides, which I'll tell you in the review. But these are always good to check out because I think a lot of people are looking at these style of desks. I think the stand thing is like a pretty big thing these days, especially considering all the things that come out about how sitting all day
is killing you.
Sitting is killing you, basically. And it is nice to have that ability to easily go from sitting to standing.
Motorized.
Yeah, it's motorized 100%. So
yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah, so I kind of custom designed one here, which you can actually do on their website as well. And you can
did you get a pencil drawer?
No, I didn't do any of the drawer stuff. I just got a normal desk. I should have got a pencil drawer.
Did you get
drawer.
A keyboard tray?
No. I hate keyboard trays. Those are always the worst things because so back in the day when
when everything had a keyboard tray?
No, yeah, when everything had a keyboard tray, and then you'd be the weirdo back then who wanted a big gaming keyboard, it wouldn't fit in the keyboard tray.
Never.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but the keyboard tray, I felt like it put it at a weird height too.
And you wouldn't have room for your mouse either. Weird. Yeah, I hated the keyboard tray.
We've come a long ways.
Yes, for sure. So I will have those three things for you next week. Probably some other stuff too, because we have I have a lot of stuff here to review, and we're just running out of time. Yeah. So before the end of the year, so I want to get all this stuff done. So there'll be a lot of stuff coming out, and again, a ton of contests coming, as well as at least three articles that are roundups. Probably four.
End of the year series.
Yeah, so there's a lot of cool stuff coming on the site, so guys, definitely stay tuned for that. And that just brings us to the end here. We talk about if we did anything cool tech related this week. You
kind of got into it mostly.
Yeah, you completely reformatted your system for once.
Oh yeah, it was I don't even remember when it was probably 4 years ago.
Yeah, so Derek sent me this real weird message that says, "Do you realize how easy it is to use a flash drive to install Windows?" And I said, "Yeah, I've been doing it for years."
I say, do you realize? I was just like, holy cow, it's really fast.
Yeah, I've been doing it for a long time.
I thought something was wrong.
Because of how fast it went?
It was restarting. And
yeah.
The only stupid thing that it did for me, and this might not happen to everybody, is it wouldn't, when it would reboot, it kept going back to the USB instead of to Windows. And so then it was trying to reinstall Windows again.
So what you do is on your BIOS.
Yeah.
Okay.
Change the boot options.
What you do is you leave your boot options normal. So boot the hard drive first, blah blah blah, right?
Yeah.
And then in most BIOSes, if you go to the end screen, save or whatever, there's a boot override. And what that does is that it boots to the flash drive just this one time you select it. So then when you restart, you don't have to worry about pulling the flash drive out.
Okay.
I talk about that in all my BIOS videos, man.
Oh, well, that's pretty telling that I've never seen one of your BIOS videos.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but no, that's why they have the boot override, because not that it's an extra step, but it's just so much easier to not worry about it. And obviously when you're installing Windows, half the time you walk away,
That's what happened. I was turned around working on a review and I'm like, oh, it restarted. And then it's back at the reinstall and I almost reinstalled again.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it failed.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, so that's why that most new BIOSes, they all have the boot override. So that's
and I went to the boot menu when I selected it the first time. My mistake.
Yes.
Rookie.
Yes. This guy.
It is really nice though, being fresh. And I did the upgrade the last time, so I feel like going with a straight Windows 10 install is somehow lighter. It feels better than the upgraded version.
I think anytime you just completely start from new with anything, it's just a better experience overall. Well, that's awesome, man. You're getting doing some tech for once.
Well, yeah, the weather's turning bad here, so
that's true. I don't think I really did anything. Oh, we did release a video. I didn't put in our notes, maybe I should. about my home studio. I did a little kind of studio tour deal. Put that up on YouTube. So you guys can check that out. Just kind of going over how the whole studio works for my workflow and everything. So did that. Ordered a new iPhone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I won't get for like 2 weeks.
It sucks.
Yeah, you know. But
we know a guy that could have hooked you up with that. I got it the first day, man.
I know, man. He could have. But besides that, I think that's it. Didn't really do anything. Just been working on a lot of stuff around here. Yeah, so
we got fat. It was Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving was a good time, I think, you know, and all that. So, and I still have tons of leftovers, which I've been eating the past couple days. So
nice.
Yes. So we will end things here. Sorry for the blue screen of death that I have. I have no clue what happened, so hopefully it doesn't happen again. Yeah. As always, we have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about, so you can go through and read these stories and check out these products in more depth. So until next week, catch you guys later.